Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're diving into the fascinating world of Paul Jorium, a Belgian anthropologist, sociologist, and author. He's written extensively, and today we'll be focusing on his book, 17 Portraits de Femmes, 17 Portraits of Women.
And you don't need to be an anthropologist to enjoy this one. It's anything but a dry academic read.
It really isn't. It's structured like a travel journal, but instead of places, it's these snapshots into the lives of these women, these encounters. You get a glimpse into their world, but also into Jorium's, you know, his perspective as he navigates these cultural differences. Plus, he's living in San Francisco at this time, but he's coming from a very different background. It makes you wonder how much his past experiences color his observations.
You can really see that in the first portrait, the woman with different politics.
Oh, absolutely. He's sizing this woman up based on her clothes, her neighborhood.
Making assumptions about her political beliefs.
Right. Which, let's be honest, we all do from time to time.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so insightful. Jorium recognizes that impulse to categorize people, even if it's subconscious. He's confronting this idea of natural order, this belief that people's surroundings dictate their beliefs. But in a place like San Francisco, those lines get blurred, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. And I think that feeling of being an outsider, of suddenly becoming visible, is really central to the next portrait, The Invisible Woman. This one really resonated with me. Have you ever, you know, suddenly noticed someone you've seen 100 times before but never really seen?
He talks about this woman at a bus stop, and he suddenly sees her like she's undergone a transformation. He even mentions feeling her gaze, which, scientifically speaking, is fascinating.
It really is. It's almost like he's challenging the laws of physics.
He is, in a way. It might seem a little out there, but neuroscientifically, there's this concept of mirror neurons. These neurons fire both when we do something and when we observe someone else doing it. So in theory, our brains could be mirroring that act of looking, of observing, even if we're not consciously aware of it.
Wow. So it kind of makes you wonder, what else are we missing just because we're not paying attention?
That's exactly what Jorium is getting at. Are we predisposed to see only what we're primed to see?
Yeah.
Like in that famous experiment where people are so focused on counting basketball passes that they completely miss a person in a gorilla suit walking right through the scene.
Oh, I've seen that one. It's crazy how much we miss when we're stuck in our own heads, right?
Exactly. Which is why these deep dives are so important, I think. They force us to slow down, pay attention, and see things in a new light.
I couldn't agree more. And speaking of seeing things in a new light, the next portrait, The Two Wrongdoers, I think reveals as much about Jorium as it does about the woman he encounters.
You're right. This one's on Laguna Beach, and he has this encounter with a female police officer. Both of them are caught doing something they shouldn't be.
And instead of focusing on her, he kind of turns inward. He starts grappling with his decision to stay in San Francisco, which he describes as having this, like, tolerant atmosphere where, and I quote, you're essentially left in peace.
It's like this encounter, this shared transgression, becomes a catalyst for his anxieties about belonging, you know, finding his place in this new culture. It's almost like he sees this shared moment, this like transgression as a reflection of his own anxieties about fitting in.
It's really interesting.
And finding his place.
Yeah, absolutely.
In his new culture.
And that longing for connection, for something that goes beyond cultural boundaries. I think it comes through in Forbidden Games, but in a totally different way.
Yeah, this is a fascinating portrait. This one takes place in Africa, before San Francisco, by the way. And it's a story that really challenges those conventional norms.
Definitely.
And forces us to confront our own ideas about what's considered taboo, would you say?
Totally. You're really hit with his own discomfort, you know? Like, he's grappling with something so far outside his comfort zone.
Yeah.
And it highlights that complexity of cultural relativism, you know? What one culture considers acceptable can be shocking to another.
Right. And Jorium's honesty about his own discomfort in this situation, I think it really forces us to look at our own responses.
For sure.
You know, it's unsettling, and I think it's supposed to be, you know,
yeah,
to make us think.
Absolutely.
Make us question things.
Exactly. Right.
It challenges those deeply ingrained beliefs that we have about right and wrong. Acceptable, taboo.
Yeah, because it really highlights how much our understanding of the world, you know,
right,
is shaped by our own experiences, by the cultures that we've been exposed to.
For sure.
And I think sometimes it takes stepping outside of what we're comfortable with to really see those influences.
Absolutely. And speaking of stepping outside comfort zones,
yeah,
the portrait, The Wife in the Elevator,
mm-hmm,
brings us back to San Francisco. This time, though, it's a very brief encounter.
Yeah.
but it speaks volumes about, you know, the assumptions that we make.
Oh, for sure.
When we have very little information to go on. Right.
Yes. Like, it's so relatable, too. It's this guy in an elevator, and he's with a younger woman, and he's completely misinterpreting her relationship with this older man, like, just based on how they look and a few things that he overheard.
Right.
It's classic, like, you know, jumping to conclusions.
And it's funny how quickly we do that, right?
Without even realizing it half the time.
And again, it ties back to what we were saying about the invisible woman. We only see what we're prying to see, right?
Right.
We're all our own baggage to every interaction.
Oh, 100%.
Whether it's our own experiences or biases.
Yeah.
And they shape how we interpret things.
Totally. It makes you think, like, how often do we miss the real story?
Yeah.
You know? Because we're so busy trying to put people into these neat little boxes.
It's so true. And speaking of snap judgments, this next portrait kind of takes that idea even further. The woman I'm suspected of wanting to sleep with.
I love that title.
Yeah.
It's like hilarious, but it also makes you think.
It does.
Like, what's he getting at?
Exactly.
So in this one, he's talking about how he hired this really highly qualified Indian woman, Maureen, over several male candidates.
Right.
And immediately, everyone's making assumptions.
Oh, I'm sure.
About his motivations.
Yeah.
And gossiping.
Oh, yeah.
And it's interesting because he doesn't shy away from how awkward it is.
He really doesn't.
He just dives right into it.
He does. He talks about this pervasiveness of Freudian analysis, especially in American culture.
Right, right.
And how that colors, you know, how we see these relationships between men and women.
Yeah.
And even Jorian, I mean, with his background, right? Anthropology, sociology.
You'd think he'd be immune.
You'd think so, right.
Yeah.
But even he's not immune to those cultural influences.
That's so true, though. And that's what I love about his writing, I think, is that he's so self-aware.
Right.
Like, he's willing to acknowledge his own biases.
Yeah.
And how they might be affecting the way he's seeing things.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's a level of honesty that I think you don't see that very often. And it makes his observations so much more impactful.
100%.
Because it's like he's not preaching from some pedestal. You know,
right, right.
He's down in the trenches with us trying to figure out this whole messy thing called human interaction.
Yeah, yeah, it's messy.
And often hilarious.
It's refreshing, right? He's so open about his own experiences.
It really is. And speaking of refreshing honesty, you know, one thing that struck me throughout these portraits was his thing with the gaze.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, he's really fascinated by that act of looking, of observing, being observed.
It comes up again and again.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he even challenges that traditional scientific view of vision.
Oh, totally. Like, there's got to be something more to it than just light hitting our retinas.
Exactly, exactly. He even talks about feeling a gaze.
Yeah.
Like, the weight of someone's attention.
It's powerful. Like, think about, have you ever, like, felt someone looking at you? Even if you didn't actually see them.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder, you know, is there something to that? Like, is there some kind of, I don't know, transfer of energy?
Right.
Some unspoken communication that happens when our eyes meet.
Think about the difference between a glance, just like someone, like, you know, looking in your direction for a second.
Right.
And someone really looking at you.
Holding your gaze.
Yeah. Or how, like, eye contact, it can be so intimate.
It can.
Depending on the context, though.
Or aggressive.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's amazing.
It's amazing how much, like, meaning we pack into just, you know.
Just a look.
A look.
Yeah.
And it makes me wonder, are we losing that? You know? Like, in our kind of digital world.
Oh, interesting.
Where so much is through a screen.
That's a really interesting thought. Are we losing that ability to read those subtle cues?
Right. Right.
You know, those nonverbal signals.
Yeah. That are so important when we're face to face.
I mean, I think Jorian would say so.
It makes his work seem even more relevant, right?
Yeah.
He's telling us, pay attention, be present in these moments.
Yeah. Yeah. Because these are real interactions. These are real people.
Yeah.
They're living their lives, you know. They have no idea that they've become these
subjects in his observations.
Exactly.
Which is another thing I love about his writing, I think. He doesn't shy away from putting himself out there.
Oh, yeah, he's in it.
He's in it.
Yeah.
He shares his own vulnerabilities, his own struggles, you know, with love, with loss, with trying to connect with people.
Totally. And in doing so, I think he makes this really powerful connection with the reader.
100%.
Like he's inviting us in, you know?
Yes.
To see his process.
Yes, exactly. Like,
here are my observations. Here are my doubts.
He even contradicts himself.
He does.
Yeah.
He does. And I kind of love that about him, you know?
I do too.
Like it makes it okay to not have all the answers.
Yes. And which he doesn't.
Which he doesn't, right.
It makes his insights even more powerful, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Because we're all just kind of figuring it out as we go.
Totally. We're all on that journey together.
We are.
And you know what? Sometimes it's in those moments
yeah.
where we don't have it figured out, where we're kind of unsure.
Yeah, yeah.
That we're most open to learning
yeah.
and to changing and to growing.
It's true. It's true. And it makes that last thought he leaves us with so powerful.
That love throws all calculations out the window.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
It is. But also kind of terrifying.
Oh, totally. It's like, no matter how much we think we understand things,
yeah.
there's always going to be something more.
Always something more.
That we can't control.
Yeah, and that's okay.
And that's okay.
And that, my friends, is why we deep dive.
That's right.
That's why we're here.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Thanks for joining us on this journey into Paul Jorian's 17 Portraits de Femme. Until next time, keep exploring, keep asking questions, keep diving deep.